Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy hump day. It is Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. And I really hope you all are having a great week out there. Once you get over the hump, you just got two more days, and then you embark on yet another weekend, okay? Should be a chilly one in the 50s, marking Thursday to Sunday, all right? So enjoy today. Going to be in the 70s today, all right? Not as the sun isn't out as it was yesterday and Monday, right? But still, a great day nonetheless. And it's always a great day anytime you all make Current Sports a part of your weekday afternoon. On today's Current Sports, we got a lot to get to. As promised on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports, I want to take a wider look other than the Detroit Lions. I want to have a big picture look at the NFL. Of course, we will look at the NFC North and the Detroit Lions race to possibly climb up that food chain and compete, legitimately compete in the NFC North. Many of you already think that ship has already sailed for the Detroit Lions. But we'll look at the NFC North. But I want to look at some of the performances, the standout performances that really caught my eye this past Sunday. All right. So you don't want to miss that. Also, some unfortunate breaking news that occurred a little after 10 a.m. this morning concerning LJ Scott, starting running back for Michigan State football. We have not seen LJ Scott in some weeks, though, because he is dealing with a lingering injury. And again, he's questionable and was questionable coming into this weekend's Happy Valley matchup at Penn State. And now with this breaking news with LJ Scott, which has nothing to do with football, I don't know if we'll see LJ Scott for yet another week, but we'll see. We'll see. Again, he could play, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play, though. All right, so we'll bring that news to you actually in just a moment, and we will have reaction to it to begin our discussion portion of the hour. And then on the back end of the show, I want to talk about MSU Madness that occurred on Friday night, late Friday night, at the Breslin Center. That's like the unofficial start for the Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams. We got to see Tom Izzo and his troops scrimmage that night. And prior to Tom's team taking the floor, we saw Susie Merchant's Michigan State women's basketball team hit the hardwood. All right, I got some takeaways from both of those scrimmages, but I want to talk about the night in general. You know, it used to be called MSU Midnight Madness, and they switched that name now to MSU Madness because no longer does it begin right at midnight. I mean, for the past years, we've seen this event start around 8 o'clock. You know, doors open at 8. You get to, you know, receive autographs and take pictures with the players and coaches. And then, you know, the event starts around like 9-ish, you know, this year 9:30. So it went to midnight, though, due to one reason. And that was, of course, the cool revealing of Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant as they hired MSU Athletics hired a magician from New York to make Merchant and Izzo appear on a stage, but it just lasted way too long. All right, so we'll have some takeaways and thoughts on another year of MSU Madness and also some more breaking news that was leaked yesterday. It looks as though
Rod Allen and Mario Mpemba will no longer be a part of the Detroit Tigers broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit. We kind of saw that one coming, right? The drama with Rod and Mario. There was a physical altercation after a game. Both were suspended for the rest of the year. There were some legal matters to figure out. And, yeah, no surprise that Mario and Rod will no longer be a part of Tigers broadcast for Fox Sports Detroit. So we'll have reaction to that as well. All right. So we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the hour. Multiple ways in which you can do so. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream. You can call in, though, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527 to call in live here on our airwaves. And you can even join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with some local soccer news. It was the foot of sophomore Sam Morsi that got East Lansing to the gold division final in the CAAC Cup. His penalty kick against number 2 seed Okemos sealed the third seeded Trojan spot in the championship game. And it was also Morsi who delivered again on Tuesday night. He placed his free kick in the 43rd minute perfectly in the side netting to give the Trojans a 1-0 lead. And his play defensively helped seal their victory over number 5 seed Hazlitt 1-0 in a rematch of the 2016 Gold Division Final. Morsi stopped a breakaway for Hazlitt's Griffin Doran by sprinting across the back line and blocking Doran's shot in the 60th minute. East Lansing now turns its focus to the MHSAA Division II soccer playoffs. The Trojans open with a game against Ionia. And if they win, they will face none other than Hazlitt in the next round. All right, after losing its first game of the season the weekend prior to, the Michigan State men's soccer team hit the road to College Park and plundered all 3 points. A big part was thanks to Patrick Nielsen, who scored the winning goal from a set piece, or at least he claimed to score it, and led the team's defensive effort to a 2-0 victory. The 13th-ranked Spartans' next game is tomorrow against the Ohio State Buckeyes in Columbus. And Patrick Nielsen, due to his performance, has been named the Big Ten's Men's Soccer Co-Defensive Player of the Week. Very cool stuff there. Also, more MSU men's soccer news, seeing as though they were in action yesterday, despite junior defender Michael Watungu's first career goal. Number 8 Michigan State men's soccer was topped by Akron 2-1 last night in a non-conference match at DeMartin Stadium. The Spartans rallied from an early 1-0 deficit, leveling the match early in the second half, but the visiting Zip scored the game winner in the 82nd minute. MSU is now 9-2-2 overall after the loss, while Akron improves to 5-4-2. The pair of perennial powers, Spartans and Zips, are regional rivals and have battled tough as of late, as Tuesday's 2-1 score was the 6th straight one-goal match in the series in East Lansing, and the 12th match determined by a goal or a draw in the last 15 meetings overall. So very, very close there. All right, more driving problems for LJ Scott. Michigan State football running back LJ Scott, he encountered more problems with his driving behind the wheel last month. The senior was cited by Meridian Township Police on September 29th for making an improper turn, operating a vehicle without a valid plate, and driving without proof of insurance. That's a no-no, LJ, according to 55th District Court records. Scott paid $400 in court costs on Tuesday for the three infractions, according to court records, a year ago. If you remember, Scott was arrested October 18th of last year and charged in East Lansing's 54B District Court with his seventh infraction of driving on a suspended license. He reached a plea agreement in that case and received a ticket for an equipment violation, as well as $115 in fines and other costs. He also received a six-month deferred statement, which expired in May, that required him to have a clean driving record. So, again, more driving problems for LJ Scott. He's been injured these last few weeks for Michigan State football. His status is still a bit unclear as to whether or not he will play on the road at Penn State. I will have further reaction to that story later on this hour. Right now, what I want to do, I want to invite live here in Studio S two of our fantastic current sports PAs. I want to throw the mic first to Adam Mackey, as he has further headliners. This concerns more drama when it comes to this whole Brian Bowen situation. So, Adam, what's up with that, my man?
All right. The father of former star college basketball recruit claimed Tuesday that former Michigan wide receiver Tay Streets paid him $5,000 before his son got to college. Brian Bowen Sr., father of former five-star recruit and Saginaw native Brian Bowen Jr., testified in federal court Tuesday, per multiple reports, that Streets, a former receiver at Michigan and the founder of prominent AAU basketball club Mean Streets, paid him the money while his son was a member of Streets' amateur club. For Yahoo's Dan Wetzel, Bowen Sr. alleged Streets paid him cash while his son was with the AAU club, not necessarily to push him, his son, towards Michigan.
I tell you, AAU basketball, again, I think I should be getting paid for how much I bring this documentary up, but Netflix is at all costs. If you have not watched that, it will certainly open your eyes to just how money-hungry certain AAU clubs can be. AAU basketball, I tell you what, Adam, this is a story that we have certainly not heard the last of, but that's the world we live in today, right, with college hoops, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is a very juicy story. I want to now turn the mic to Trevor Toslowski as we dive into this whole Mario Mpemba and Rod Allen beef. An alleged physical altercation occurred after a game. Well, as I mentioned, I kind of let this cat out the bag already at the top of the hour. But what is the latest concerning this story, Trevor?
All right. As expected, the Detroit Tigers will have a new television broadcast team next season. After a late season falling out escalated to a physical altercation on September 4th, longtime Fox Sports Detroit broadcasters Rod Allen and Mario Mpemba both will not return next season, according to multiple persons with knowledge of the situation. The end of their lengthy run is not surprising. Both Allen and Mpemba did not appear on the air for the remainder of the season after the incident.
Why can't we all just get along, right? I mean, you're going to work with people that, yeah, 100% of us are going to work with people that we don't like, all right? Unless you work at WKAR. I love everybody here, right? But, you know, you can't let it get to the point where you're throwing bows and getting physical. So, but that's... I'm going to have further reaction to that later on this hour. What's your thoughts on that, Trevor?
Well, if you're going to bring it back up later, I'll jump in then, because I definitely have a few thoughts about that as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, big fella.
Yeah. Thank you. As we have Alec Rio on the buttons and the ones and twos behind the glass today. All right. Yeah. Keep that in store for later on as well, Alec. Appreciate that. All right, Adam, I want to throw this one to you as, gosh, I don't even want to read this one. You can read this one. You know, when I brought it to our listeners not too long ago, I had to like compose myself because I felt like I was going to like hurl live on the air. But this whole Comerica Park spitter story. What's the latest on that, Adam?
Crazy story, but tests show that a food vendor at Detroit Tigers home stadium who was fired after video surfaced showing him spitting on a pizza that was apparently intended for a customer does not have any communicable diseases. Authorities say 20-year-old Jalen Curley tested negative for sexually transmitted diseases, HIV, and hepatitis. Hurley is charged with a felony and misdemeanor crimes. Video appeared on Instagram. Officials determined it was recorded September 21st during the Tigers game against the Kansas City Royals at Comerica Park, and Hurley was later fired.
I don't know how the next Tigers game I go to next season, I don't know how I will be able to stand in line and purchase any food item without thinking of Jalen Hurley spitting on a pizza. That's the last time. I've had pizza at Comerica Park before. It's pretty good. But now I'm not probably ordering anything, any food item when I go to Comerica Park from now on. But that is just, that's like one of the most lowly things you can do as someone. That is the lowest of low when it comes to working in food services for a restaurant or any food organization. That's just really, really sick. All right. Thank you for that, Adam. All right. After setting a new major league record for home runs in a season, the New York Yankees are going home because their offense showed up too little too late. Game four of the ALDS, the Red Sox won game four, 4-3 last night and have advanced to the American League Championship Series, where they will now take on the Houston Astros. That should be an incredibly entertaining series. The Yanks scored four runs total, four in games three and four at Yankee Stadium, and were limited to 10 hits in the two games. And we all know how Monday's game went. Just a complete blowout, like 16-1. Just really, really ugly. All right, Antonio Brown, according to a recent lawsuit filed against Brown in April, Brown was alleged to have thrown two large vases, an ottoman, and other various furniture items off of his 14th floor balcony in South Florida during some kind of an outburst. Now, these actions are alleged to have been caught on surveillance cameras. Documents for the lawsuit were obtained by TMZ Sports. And in those documents, Brown is being accused of almost hitting a 22-month-old child as one of the vases shattered near the toddler. Now, Ophir Sternberg is suing Brown for assault and international infliction of emotional distress. According to Stenberg says, quote, Mr. Brown was extremely agitated, acting aggressively, and yelling at security personnel when police arrived at the scene, end quote. Also added was how Brown behaved, quote, without regard for human life. All right, Trevor, take us home as we have our final headliner here concerning Colin Kaepernick and filing a trademark for his image. Trevor?
Yeah, Colin Kaepernick has filed an application to trademark a black and white image of his face and hair, according to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office records. Former San Francisco 49ers quarterback was the first NFL player to kneel during the national anthem as a means of protesting racial inequality and police brutality. Applied for the trademark through a company that he owns, Inked Flesh Incorporated, on Friday.
There you have that. Colin Kaepernick, again, that's just a business move, because we've seen that image everywhere, like on lampshades. I was looking at images of this cap image with the, you know, it's got the afro on. You see him just kind of staring out. I've seen that image on like lampshades and birthday cakes everywhere. So Kaep has said, you know what, why not make money off this? I'm going to apply for a trademark. All right. Smart stuff there from Cap. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You can check out the live stream there and comment below that video. And you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports. And tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to get your reaction to this breaking story that occurred, was put out to the public at least around 10 a.m. this morning. I saw it first on the Detroit Free Press site, courtesy of Michigan State sports reporter Chris Solari. But LJ Scott, he's got more problems behind the wheel when it comes to his driving. Cited by Meridian Township Police in September for making an improper turn, operating a vehicle without a valid plate, and driving without proof of insurance. Your reaction and my reaction coming up right now.
freshman's career, and I dare say it will not be the last time he visits the end zone.
Now the Spartans are not going to be throwing the ball. L.J. Scott on the ground, blockers in front. Scott bounces it. Touchdown!
Third and one. Scott stays in the game. He'll get the carry. He's got the first down. Stays on his feet and into the end zone. Touchdown, Spartans.
All right, and that's how we start this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I'm trying, Spartan fans, even though it may not seem like it, I'm trying to pump some positivity in your lives. I'm really trying hard, but it's like becoming tougher and tougher every single day to get up and bring some light into the discussion of where MSU football is right now. And this breaking story from this morning, just it isn't helping. It just isn't. L.J. Scott. And by the way, that montage there, we haven't heard that in a while, right? I mean, L.J. Scott has been injured for the majority of this season. And, you know, we had high expectations this year for L.J., you know, to really have a breakout season, to turn some heads and convince maybe some upper echelons in the NFL that he is a top running back in the nation and deserves to be maybe a first or second round pick, right? But that's not happening because LJ has been injured for most of this year. And, you know, even when we did see him, that Michigan State offensive line just didn't open up any holes and has not opened up any holes for a consistent running game to come to fruition for the Spartans. And now this news from this morning, L.J. Scott cited by Meridian Township Police on September 29th for making an improper turn, operating a vehicle without a valid plate, and driving without proof of insurance. Again, this is according to 55th District Court records, and I'm reading a report courtesy of Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press. Now, again, laying out the details, if you happen to just now tune in and you missed it during our headliner, Scott, he paid $400 in court costs yesterday for the three infractions. You know, last year, I mean, almost, you know, 8 days, you know, October 18th, 2017, we are 8 days away from the 1 year anniversary when this happened a year ago, Scott charged in East Lansing's 54B District Court with his seventh infraction of driving on a suspended license. You know, he reached a plea agreement in that case and received a ticket just for an equipment violation. I don't know how in the world he pulled that one off, as well as a $115 fine and other costs. He also received a six-month deferred statement, which expired in May, which required him to have a clean driving record. So MSU football coach Mark D'Antonio, he played Scott against Indiana last year, 3 days after his arrest. Sitting the running back, though, this is was Scott's punishment. You know, he had to sit for one series. Now, back in October of last year, Scott said, quote, "A lot of people just didn't know what happened and thought they knew what happened. It was just communication between me and the Secretary of State. I'm just glad to have it all cleared up and make sure nothing like this happens again." Coach D defended Scott. Quote, "Young people are going to make mistakes, but they are my young people. It's like my family. So you're going to try and take care of those guys, try and usher them forward and try to help them resolve their issues as best you can. Ultimately, you know, sometimes you're put in situations where you have to make very tough decisions. However, this was not one of them." So And Scott has had a number of driving offenses, just, you know, in the past 3 years, if that's not enough for you. According to the Lansing State Journal and online records, last year, Scott also was charged for driving without a license or on a suspended license at least, get this, this blows my mind, 6 other times. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not even 5, 6 other times in Ohio and Michigan since 2016. Scott is lucky just to be out and free right now walking this beautiful green earth. That's crazy. 6 other times prior to what happened last year, and now we have this that occurred in late September. Scott also, it doesn't stop there. Scott also had 2 minor violations this year in East Lansing. One, I just don't get this. One for parking on a sidewalk on March 17th. And then another for disobeying a sign controlling parking on August 20th. Those 2 occurred this year. So you got the the 6 violations, you know, in Ohio and Michigan since 2016. Then this year, March 17th, you know, parking on a sidewalk. Another for disobeying a sign controlling parking on August 20th. And then you have the incident in late September. Oh, yeah, and then you have what happened in October of last year. Scott, who is Scott's lawyer? That's what I want to know. I mean, my goodness. So, you know, you read what Mark D'Antonio had to say last year, saying, you know, young people are going to make mistakes. They're my young people. It's like my family. You're going to try and take care of those guys. Again, Mark D'Antonio ended up sitting LJ Scott 3 days after that arrest. He sat LJ Scott against Indiana for 1 series. Now, what makes this interesting is that, you know, this year with this, you know, latest infraction, you know, LJ Scott has not played in like, what, 3 weeks now? We haven't seen LJ Scott for 3 weeks. You know, he's dealing with this looming injury bug. And his status prior to this report was already in question because of his health. But if LJ Scott is healthy, and if there was any inclination that LJ Scott, and this is the question I have for our listeners, you know, if you're Coach D'Antonio, and let's just say, for kicks and giggles, that LJ Scott is completely healthy here, knowing that this is now the second time in a year. And again, you look at what happened in March, parking on the sidewalk in March and disobeying a sign controlling parking on August 20th. And then prior to all of this, he's had 6 other infractions when it comes to driving in Ohio and Michigan dating back to 2016. With all that being said, and now this latest incident, if LJ Scott was healthy, do you think he should play? Because I have an easy answer for that. Heck no. How do you play LJ Scott? And again, he's given you your word that he's not going to do this again. He's glad it's all cleared up. It's not going to become a recurring problem. And now you have this report. Because I think if Mark D'Antonio was to play LJ Scott this weekend, it just sends a horrible message. It really does. That, you know, your players aren't able. You know, we hear it all the time. You know, I've been hearing this back to when I was a student at Michigan State, you know, and I would have conversations with the homies all the time about college athletes in general. I'm not talking about MSU here. I'm talking about just college athletes in general. You know, we have the conversations like, you know, well, if you really are a Division I big time college athlete, you know, do you really have to go to class? You know, don't you get a pass? You know, we've heard the stories of athletes getting a pass on everything because they're stars at a respective college in that certain city, right? I mean, those have been rumors for a long time, you know. And if I think if Mark D'Antonio was to play LJ Scott this Saturday, it goes right into that conversation that these athletes, you know, are basically babied and their behavior is enabled. And that's the kind of track record that Mark D'Antonio, I don't think he has in his program. I mean, Mark D'Antonio has disciplined his players, and I think he has shown that over time. Same thing, you know, with Tom Izzo. I remember the whole Derek Nix situation with Tom Izzo's men's basketball program. And I remember when Derek Nix, never forget that, when Derek Nix was, you know, in the whole marijuana situation, he made Derek Nix face the music and go in front of that podium and speak to reporters and answer the tough questions, right? So if you're Coach D, if there was any possibility that L.J. Scott was going to be a factor in Happy Valley, that just went out the window with this story, in my opinion. I wouldn't even let L.J. Scott travel with the team. You have to send a message here. And it was quite surprising to me last year, I got to admit, that, you know, L.J. Scott only sat out a series. And I must say that quote from Coach D'Antonio. And again, I'm not Coach D'Antonio. I'm not the head coach of the Michigan State football team. Again, I'm just Al Martin. I'm a radio sports talk host here. I'm just giving you my thoughts and my opinion on how I would have handled it. But again, I'm not Coach D'Antonio, right? But you know, Coach D'Antonio, his quote, you know, discussing L.J. Scott, and you know, young people are going to make mistakes. You know, ultimately, you know, sometimes you're put in situations where you have to make very tough decisions. However, this was not one of them. And only sitting out L.J. Scott a series was surprising for me. I thought that L.J. Scott, I thought D'Antonio was just going to just punish L.J. Scott, not let him play in that game. So only sitting out a series, I mean, it's just one series. I don't know how tough of a punishment, if at all, that really was. But I don't know how you can look at 6 infractions in Ohio and Michigan since 2016. Coupled with the fact that, you know, the infraction that occurred in October of last year, and now you park on a sidewalk on March 17th, and then you disobey a sign controlling parking on August 20th, and now this report, you make an improper turn, you were operating a vehicle without a valid plate and driving without proof of insurance, LJ. Come on, man. First off, if you know you have this kind of a track record on your driving record, why are you behind the wheel at all? You know, it's 2018. I mean, Alec, you rode a Bird not too long ago. One of those little Bird scooters.
They're driving very efficient.
Around, very efficient, right? Very. I mean, you rode a Bird to actually work. You know, which game was that?
It was CMU? The one in CMU, yep.
You rode that
in a
thing.
Full suit.
In a full suit, there's something called Uber nowadays. Oh, and by the way, you're on a college football team where you have teammates. Why can't they give you a ride? This is just idiotic. This is stupid. Plain and simple. This is stupid mannerism. I just don't get it. This is on LJ Scott, man. This is on LJ 1,000%. And driving without, you know, insurance. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, operating a vehicle without a valid plate, these are all things you can take care of very easily. It's idiotic. And LJ Scott does not deserve to play this weekend. If he does, boy. Oh, my gosh. If he does play, I'll have another rant come Monday. If he does play. But that inclination that, and I know Spartan fans don't want to hear this, LJ, the running game, all that X's and O's stuff, this goes beyond the X's and O's here, all right? This is about responsibility, and this is about punishment when you do not adhere responsibly to the law, okay? This goes beyond that. Let's hit our first break. When I come back, we take your calls. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to get your thoughts on this. Many of you are blowing up our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/WKAR News. And a few tweets I want to get to as well. All right. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just wrapped up segment A, addressing the whole LJ Scott breaking news that broke around like 10 a.m. this morning. Running back LJ Scott, more problems with driving on the road behind the wheel. He has been cited for making an improper turn, operating a vehicle without a valid plate, and driving without proof of insurance. He paid $400 in court costs on Tuesday for the three infractions. He's had a laundry list of infractions when it comes to operating a vehicle, you know, like six in Michigan and Ohio since 2016. He had the infraction last year in on October 18th that we talked about extensively here on the show. He sat out a series 3 days after that was reported when Michigan State played Indiana, and then he played the rest of the game there. D'Antonio defended him. LJ said, "This is in my past. I'm moving on. You know, I'm just glad," he said, quote, "I'm just glad to have it all cleared up and make sure nothing like this happens again." Well, LJ, it has. Oh, and yeah, in March, he parked on the sidewalk. And in August 20th, to be exact, he disobeyed a sign controlling parking. So, again, I just don't understand it. It's 2018. Uber everywhere, or Lyft, or Bird. Bird everywhere now, right? That's all I see on campus, just birds, just bird scooters, just everywhere. or bike, or you got teammates. Just don't get behind a vehicle if you know you got problems with the license plate and you ain't got no insurance. It's real simple. You know, heck, I got homies in Detroit, and I just makes no sense how there are a lot of people that think they're just going to just squeak by when it comes to that. Oh, I can... You know, I'm not going to get pulled over. It ain't going to happen to me. I'm just going to make sure I obey the signs, don't draw any attention. I'm not going to get pulled over and get cited for not having insurance. That's just a stupid mindset. Just idiotic. So if I'm Coach D, I'm not playing you, LJ. You just threw whatever opportunity that you had out the window. Your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Trevor, you're still in studio with us here, here in Studio A. Trevor, you've been listening to my rant for the past, like 15 minutes. Your thoughts on LJ Scott, and would you, if you are Coach D'Antonio, would you play LJ this Saturday if he was 100% healthy?
I don't think so, and I brought it up to you during the break. I was getting your thoughts on whether or not you think maybe LJ's already being punished, because like you said, we talked about going through warmups. It's not game speed. So you can look good in warmups and not play, but he's gone through warmups the last few weeks, and maybe D'Antonio and the coaching staff already knew about this situation before it was reported,
mm-hmm.
and took that action against Northwestern and said, "Hey, you may be healthy now, but you're not playing." So I think depending on whether or not they knew ahead of time, I don't think he plays this weekend.
Right.
I mean, D'Antonio's got to go and be like, "All right, we're going to amend your scholarship, and we're going to give you a bike or a skateboard or something." Like, it's inexcusable to continue
yeah.
to have these issues when there's so many ways around it. Public transportation, you know,
right.
friends, walking. Walking's
right.
a pain, but we all have two functioning legs.
Exactly. It's like, you know, fool me once, right? Fool me once. I mean, but in this case, it's like fool me 20 times, right, when it comes to LJ Scott. But,
yeah.
you know, fool me once, you know, shame on you. But fool me 20 times, that's on me. You know what I mean? It just makes no sense to me. Alec Rio, Behind the Glass, Engineering Today's Current Sports, frequent bird scooter rider.
Avid, yes, indeed.
Avid bird scooter rider. Alec, your thoughts on the LJ Scott story?
See, the thing is, with Mark D'Antonio saying, "Oh, people make mistakes," it's now the sixth time that this happened. People
more than that,
mistakes.
Right?
Yeah, more than that. And so it's just like, where do you draw the line on where you're like, okay, now I have to do something about this? Because, like, I mean, if I were LJ Scott, honestly, I'd be like more scared of like what my parents would do. Because, like, my parents, if I were to get that many infractions, don't get me wrong, I've had quite a bit of parking tickets, shout out Pace.
We all have. It's
we
Michigan
all
State,
have.
Right?
We all have. And, like, those are different though, because parking tickets, they'll get you for anything. But like with an infraction, like you got to go out of your way to do something, like forgetting to do put your license plate on, mm-hmm. and or like driving with a headlight out. They're all fixable things, you know. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Mark D'Antonio, you got to sit him out for a game. And this infraction happened on September 29th.
The Central Michigan game. Yep,
so they very well could have already done the punishment.
Right, it could have. But what gets me, this happened on game day.
Oh,
what you doing driving on game day? Or was it maybe the morning? I'm assuming it was probably the morning.
The morning of.
Like, probably like, you know, 2 a.m. or something like that. Who knows? But still, the weekend when you're supposed to be preparing to take on Central Michigan University, and this happens, that makes it, that also just adds more fuel to the fire. But yeah, I mean, and again, that's a good point that Trevor brought up. You know, this did happen on September 29th. So, you know, when he was warming up on the sidelines against Northwestern, you know, maybe Coach D'Antonio was like, well, this is a part of your punishment. Who knows? Again, we're all speculating at this point. But we'll see, you know, if D'Antonio is just now finding out about this. Again, I don't see how you play him against Penn State. It just makes no sense. And if I'm a teammate of LJ Scott's, and again, it was Michigan State football did have a players only meeting. And when it's like when you have a players only meeting, we see this in other sports and in other teams. Whenever you have a players only meeting, there is something seriously going on with the football team where you have to say, all right, we need to talk, fellas. We don't need the coaches in here. Let's just have a heart to heart. Let's have a lemon squeeze. And anytime you have to have one of those moments, there's something going awry with the chemistry of the football team. Again, I'm just reading tea leaves as it pertains to a players-only meeting. So the leaders got to step up here. You know, Bocci, Willis, those guys and other leaders on the team have to step up and right this thing. But I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, because you do play Penn State on the road come this weekend. Looking at some comments here on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, many of you weighing in. Lester, what up? What up, Al? How's Michigan treating you? Tell LJ to be smarter. Much love. All right. Appreciate that, Lester. Yeah, I wish I could. And I'm pretty sure LJ is already getting that ream from Mark D'Antonio and his coaching staff. Ben says, I don't get it. Why LJ Scott and guys that used to be on the team keep thinking that they can get away with this crap? It irritates me to no end. Then Ben goes on to say, if Coach D plays LJ on Saturday at Penn State, it will be sending the wrong message, especially to younger athletes. It is not okay to disobey the law, but for whatever reason, LJ Scott has gotten off due to whoever his lawyer is, and due to the fact that Coach D doesn't care, which is sad. If Coach D did care, he wouldn't allow LJ to play at all. So Ben, very, very harsh with his comments there. But I get it. I get it. I was surprised that LJ only sat out a series against Indiana, knowing his driving history. And then Tino, look at it. Tino isn't in today, is he?
No,
Tino is not. Tino, one of our current sports PAs, he's not in, but he's chiming in on our Facebook page right now. And I just lost the comment. Oh, here it is. Tino says, you can park a bird on the sidewalks. It would be perfect for LJ Scott. That's a good
one,
right?
That's a good one. That's a really good.
That gets comment of the day so far on our Facebook page. Because, yeah, I mean, LJ gets cited for parking a vehicle on the sidewalk. And, yeah, you can park a bird on the sidewalk. And, by the way, I know that they've the city has like confiscated a bunch of bird scooters because I guess they don't adhere to the code.
Yeah,
when it comes to traffic laws in East Lansing.
Yeah, some of them like obstruct places where cars are supposed to go, and
right, because it goes more than like 20 miles per hour, right? Something like
they
that.
They go like 15. They go okay. Pretty fast. Like they can hang with the cars on the streets.
Yeah.
Like, and another reason why the bird scooters are going away is, did you see the other scooters? I think they're called like Lime scooters or something like that.
So there's a competing scooter company in addition to the bird right
yeah.
now. I have not seen those.
Yep,
no.
You'll see it. They're like lime green. You'll see it. You can't miss them. But
okay.
the main difference between the two is that the bird scooters are going away because they didn't ask permission to go on MSU's campus.
Right. They just basically like a truck came and just dumped them on campus.
Yeah, they literally took over like a pack of mice in a house. But so like the difference is the Lime Scooter Company, they asked permission for put their scooters on campus.
Right.
And so now Bird scooters are just going to seemingly be gone within the next couple of weeks and Lime scooters will take over.
Right. Very interesting. Yeah, we have actually a story on our website done by Reginald Hardwick and Tatiana Hempel, basically giving an update on the confiscation of 100 Bird scooters. So there you have that. Well, I hope LJ at least gets one. All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll talk about this whole Rod and Mario beef. No longer will Rod Allen and Mario Mpemba, Mario, an MSU grad, no longer will those two be on the air for Fox Sports Detroit broadcasting Detroit Tigers games. That, as well as a brief overview of what's happened in the NFL so far, that and more, we are coming down the home stretch here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to get to this story as we have just about 10 minutes left here in the hour. Mario and Rod. Rod Allen and Mario Mpemba, if you have not heard, they will no longer work for Fox Sports Detroit doing broadcasting Detroit Tigers games. And, you know, this story is juicy on a lot of different levels. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this, not in local sports, at least.
Thanks, big fella.
Yeah, thank you, Rod. Not at least here locally, but two broadcasters. I mean, these dudes have been on the air for a long time. They have worked more than 2,000 games since coming to Detroit. It's a long history when it comes to these two in the early 2000s, right? But, you know, looking at some sources that have reported to certain media outlets, and I'm right now looking at the Detroit News, just want to lay this out there. According to two sources with knowledge of what happened on September 4th, the final blowout was the result of events, each trivial and even petty, that just basically came to a boiling point. There was a brief pregame spat over a chair, which all sides agree had little to do with the final fireworks. There were prickly words from Mpemba about an early afternoon interview between Allen and Tigers outfielder Jim Aducci that Mpemba believed Allen had postponed out of convenience. Allen was furious, not only because he believed Mpemba's charge was baseless, but because he viewed the interview was none of Mpemba's concern, according to this source. And as often has been the case between two broadcasters who got into, again, I'm coming from the Detroit News here, who got on each other's nerves, late during the game on September 4th, there was a 43-second blackout when Mpemba, again irked by what he believed was Allen's fixation on emails, Twitter, and texts rather than on the game, Mpemba decided to boycott the microphone as retaliation. The extended uncomfortable stretch of dead air signaled to viewers something was wrong. Confirmation came moments after the game, which was an 8-3 win for the Tigers during a spontaneous and bizarre episode outside the visitors' TV booth. Although accounts are disputed depending on the side, it is known Allen and Mpemba clashed immediately after each man departed the booth. Allen to take a break ahead of a post-game appearance. Mpemba, who needed to clear space for Allen's post-game wrap-up, Mpemba walked out of the booth, found Allen standing 10 to 20 feet away in a narrow corridor that in almost all big league ballparks runs outside of a line of TV and radio boxes. Neither of the men was in a mood for pleasantries following an icy broadcast, and the confrontation in a split second turned physical. And Pemba's side alleges that, and Allen's refutes vigorously, that Allen placed his hands on the sides of Mpemba's neck. So, there you have that. this is bizarre. We have Trevor and we have Jack Kerwin now in the studio. Trevor, I've never seen anything like this. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this in local sports. But, you know, these two will be missed. I liked, you know, watching these two and listening to these two on the air. But, you know, so this is a loss for Detroit Tigers fans out there. But I just don't know how, as a professional, in any arena, whatever job you have, how you can let things get to a point where you want to get physical with that other person. Trevor?
Yeah, that's Rod and Mario. Baseball's always been my number one sport. So Rod and Mario were like kind of my inspiration for wanting to get into broadcasting, and that's hopefully what I'll be doing.
Have you met either one?
I have not had the opportunity to meet either one.
Mario has been on Current Sports before. He's an MSU grad. He's been you know, a part of the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic. Great guy. I remember when he had like a little like a forum for students. A great guy. Never would have thought this would happen.
Well, yeah, and these are grown men. These are men in their 50s that apparently got into a physical altercation because one of them sat in the wrong seat and they're texting during the
Sounds like middle school right now,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Exactly. And so when I heard that neither one would be back, or when I heard that they wouldn't be back for the rest of the season, I was very torn because Mario is my preferred of the two. Mm. But I thought there was a chance when it happened, maybe they keep one or the other. And I go, well, if they keep Mario, that's great. But then that means Kirk Gibson is in the booth. Mm-hmm. And for me, his knowledge is top tier, but the way Kirk Gibson delivers it is so hard to sit through.
You're not a fan of Gibby?
I do not like Gibby as a broadcaster.
Who's also MSU. Hey, MSU everywhere,
yeah,
right?
So, but then I go, well, if they keep Rod, Rod's entertaining. But, like, Mario is the guy that, you know, the play-by-play guy is the one that carries it. And Rod comes in and mm-hmm. brings an insight. So it's disappointing to see both of them leave. Like you said, it's just very surprising that grown men.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, I've, you know, spoken to people. And they said that apparently they haven't liked each other for years.
For a long time. I got a source that actually told me before this whole thing popped off that during commercial breaks, the two don't even speak to one another. There is a very, very strained relationship between the two.
Is a paycheck worth dealing with someone you don't like for that long?
And those are tough gigs to get. I mean, major league television broadcaster?
Yeah. I mean, there's only 30 jobs.
You don't get those.
Yeah.
Right. You don't get those jobs. So, yeah. Jack, you're in my seat, man. You're in my seat. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm going to jump over this table in a second, dude. I mean, it makes no sense. How do you let it get to that point? Jack, your thoughts on this story.
Well, I guess it's just a classic case of things aren't as rosy as we all kind of thought they were watching them on TV for all these years.
They put on the front. They were good actors, I tell you, for years.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I guess anytime you spend so much time working with another person, you can learn to hate them, I guess. But I'm going to miss Mario and Rod big time. It's going to be interesting to see who fills that void. What are you talking about? I'm sitting in your chair.
Sitting in my chair, man. Just like Rod got, you know, they got.
Oh, all right. I was like, what?
You totally missed that, huh?
Yeah,
they got
to
it over a chair. You're sitting in my chair, Jack.
I got you now, but I was just thinking, you've been in here all hour.
No,
I
would never.
I was like,
No. This is my throne.
How did I get the good chair?
But over a chair, that's allegedly how it started. But how do you? It wasn't over a chair. That's what that was.
I mean, if it was really a chair that did it, it could have been anything, right? It could have been the next day, you know.
Right, exactly.
Someone didn't get coffee for the other guy, and now they're scrapping. So.
Right.
I was reading online that people were kind of speculating about who the Tigers might or who FSD might look at.
Shep?
I heard Shep. I also heard Joe Block, a former MSU grad who is working with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who still lives here in Michigan apparently during the offseason.
That would be a big get.
Yeah, I think Matt Shepard did an okay job. I think he's all right. He's not like top tier or anything, but you know, he's obviously well respected. He won an award from the Detroit Sports
Broadcasters Association,
I think.
Yep. Right. I mean, these are two acclaimed guys who, again, did a great job when they were on the air. And also, I heard Joe Davis possibly rumored as well. I mean, Joe, actually from Michigan, went to Potterville High School and has turned into one of my favorite broadcasters on the air, actually. A young dude in his like early 30s, crushing it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Alec, you got anything behind there?
Yeah, just like from the executive standpoint, if you're like one of the top people, how do you not see this coming? Like, if it's been something that's been a bunch of microaggressions for the last couple seasons, how do you not see that coming and just at least split them so nothing, like, PR-related would go wrong? I just don't see why they didn't split them up, like, 2 seasons ago when people saw that it was an issue. If you notice that two broadcasters aren't talking to each other in the during the commercials, I mean...
Well, the thing is, the product was so good, though. I mean, even though they didn't talk, you know, they'll sacrifice in not talking during commercials that, okay, they're doing a solid job on the air. They don't think it's going to get physical. You know what I mean? That's like out of left field.
No, I know.
So if the product is good and people are watching and people enjoy listening to Mario and watching Mario and Rod on the air, you'll take that sacrifice, right? We all have to work with people sometimes that we don't like.
Yeah.
So maybe, there you go. Be a pro about it.
I mean, they did bring in Kurt Gibson two or 3 years ago to kind of split the color duties with Rod. And
I remember Dan Dickerson, too. I mean, Dan Dickerson, they put him on FSD as well for a moment.
You know, maybe hiring Kurt Gibson was, you know, half the time now you're not Mario and Rod because they knew that that was going on years ago.
Right.
And that was kind of their way to try and, you know, give them time apart. But apparently that's just when there's issues long term, like it doesn't matter how long you've been together or how long you're apart. It's those issues persist.
Very true. All right. 30 seconds left here. Man, I really wanted to get to MSU Madness, which we have not gotten to. And Ray, I'm going to have you call tomorrow, brother. We just got caught up in this conversation. Love you. Ray from Indiana. We'll be sure to get Ray on the phone tomorrow. We'll also have Tim Harris of Rising Black Men. He'll be on tomorrow as well. And Komari Seinfeld of boxing. His boxing club has been killing it for a lot of years here in Michigan. We'll have him on Friday. So look forward to a great next 2 days here. Be easy, people.